Make way! Soldiers! Clear the way! Quick, out of the way!
Who do they think they are?
It's the priest with the soldiers from Jerusalem.
Lucky some of them crafty fox and us.
Coming like wolves to make trouble for the Baptists.
Andrew, it's the priest. Quick, get out of their way. This way.
I'm moving. I'm sure they don't want to be near an ordinary fisherman like me, huh? But what do they want with the Baptist?
Look, the Baptist sees them too.
Look here, snakes. You are trying to escape hell without truly turning to God.
How dare you talk to us that way? Don't you know we are priests from Jerusalem?
Don't think you are safe because you are descendants of Abraham. That isn't enough. Yes, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire.
How dare he talk to us that way?
Blasphemy, that's what it is.
I have him tried before the council.
He's just a wild man.
He won't live long.
Hello, everyone. We're so glad you're with us. I believe, Uncle Dan, that you have another story from the life and times of Jesus.
That's right, Aunt Sue. And this chapter is about the very start of Jesus' ministry and his baptism by John the Baptist.
John certainly didn't seem to have many nice things to say to the priest, did he?
I'm afraid not, Aunt Sue. You see, at that time, many of the priests were very proud of themselves. They thought they were better than most people. And they didn't like anyone telling them they were sinners, the same as anyone else.
And John the Baptist started doing just that at the Jordan River, calling all people to turn from their sins and be ready for God's special messenger, the Messiah.
That's right, Aunt Sue. That was the special work John the Baptist was born for. John was a special child born to the old priest Zachariah and his wife, Elizabeth, just 6 months before Jesus was born to Mary. Remember what the angel said of John?
He will be filled with the Holy Spirit and turn many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God.
What's the title of your story, Uncle Dan?
I call it
A Voice in the Desert.
When the ministry of John the Baptist began, the nation of Israel was in a state of excitement and discontent, verging on revolution. The tyranny of Rome kindled revolt, which was quenched in the blood of thousands of Israel's bravest. Amid this discord and strife, a voice was heard from the wilderness, a voice startling, stern, yet full of hope.
Turn from your sins. Turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is coming soon.
Hundreds of years earlier, the prophet Isaiah had foretold John's ministry in these words.
I hear a shout from the wilderness. Prepare a road for the Lord. Straighten out the path where he will walk.
People came from all over to hear John the Baptist and be baptized by him in the Jordan River. Two of these were fishermen from Galilee, John Bar Zebedee and his friend Andrew.
Prepare a road for the Lord to travel on. Widen the pathway before him. Level the mountains.
There, John Bar Zebedee, do you hear that? The prophet must be just around the hill.
That's the direction the crowd is headed. And judging from their tents, they must be planning to stay for a while.
Fill up the valleys. Straighten the curves. Smooth out the ruts. And then all mankind shall see the Savior sent from God.
There, on that rock in the water. See him?
The one in the camel hair tunic and leather belt?
Yes, that's him. Tough looking, isn't he?
I'll say. That beard. Looks like he never shaved.
He's lived in the desert since he was young. I hear his only school has been the Holy Scriptures and nature. And he's taken the Nazarite vow. That's why he doesn't shave.
He looks like I suppose the prophet Elijah looked.
Make way!
Oh, please, I need to clear
the way! Out of the way!
Andrew, it's a priest. Quick! Get out of the way.
I'm coming. What do you suppose they want with the Baptist?
I don't know, but he's spotted them now, too. There's fire in his eyes. This should be interesting.
You brood of snakes! Who warned you to escape from the wrath to come?
How dare you talk to us that way? Don't you know we are priests from Jerusalem and Abraham is our father?
Don't think you are safe because you are descendants of Abraham. I tell you, God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones here. Yes, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire.
How dare he talk to us that way?
Blasphemy, that's what it is. Blasphemy.
He's just a wild man. He won't have long to
live. You leave him alone. He's a prophet of God.
You arrest him and you'll have to deal with us, too.
You better keep quiet. You'd better be careful. There's no telling about this crowd. They could turn on us.
But he mocks our authority. You heard him. He speaks of us Pharisees as snakes.
This John is crafty. He knows how to work a crowd, and the moment I don't think we're too popular with his rabble.
Mm. Words of wisdom, Rabbi Amariel. These people consider John the Baptist as a prophet. Mm. It might serve us well if we were also baptized by him.
Ah, never!
I think it's a good idea. Then this rabble will think more highly of us. John, we would be baptized by you also.
Did you hear that?
Pharisees and Sadducees, who said that you could escape the coming wrath of God before being baptized, prove that you have turned from sin by worthy deeds. Repent, turn to God.
But why must we repent? We are not like these Gentiles, nor like these common people. We are children of Abraham.
That isn't enough. The axe of God's judgment is poised over you, ready to sever your roots and cut you down.
Well spoken, John.
He's right. These stones have more mercy than these priests.
Axes, bring some axes. Let's get him rid of these dead roots. Listen. We cannot reason with this wild man. Let's get him into an argument. The more he says, the more he will condemn himself. All right. John. We see that God's Spirit is with you. There is no denying that. But tell us, why do you baptize?
With water I baptize those who repent of their sins. But someone else is coming, far greater than I am, so great that I am not worthy to carry his shoes. He shall baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. To tax collectors, I say,
come,
be honest,
we might as well go back to Jerusalem and report our findings.
Sometime later, while John was preaching and baptizing, another young man appeared at the banks of the Jordan River. This man was about 30 years old. John, Bar, Zebedee, and Andrew watched him closely.
Who is that walking up to the Baptist?
I don't know. He looks like a Galilean like us. And yet, he looks different.
Look, he's going into the water. And will you look at that? John the Baptist is kneeling before him. Quick, let's get closer so we can hear better.
John, I have come to be baptized by you.
You have come to me? Not you. That doesn't seem right. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you.
Please do it, John. For I must do all that God requires.
Look, the Baptist is baptizing him. And now he's coming up out of the water and looking up toward the sky.
What was that? Did you hear it, Andrew?
Yes, I heard it. It sounded like thunder. But at this time of year, there's not a cloud in the sky.
Not everyone understood the voice from heaven, which said, "This is my beloved Son, and I am very pleased with him." Holy Scripture tells us that at this moment, the Holy Spirit, in the form of a dove, descended on Jesus. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus needed to be alone, to have time to think and pray. God had just spoken to him and had called him his son. Now, before Jesus lay his mission and work, to show people how much God loves them, to show them how much God would do to save them from sin and eternal death. It was an awesome, frightening task, and Jesus needed to prepare and strengthen himself. Mighty issues for the world were at stake in the battle between the Prince of Light and the leader of the kingdom of darkness. The dominion that Adam and Eve had lost through sin, Christ had come to recover. So, likely in the shade of some huge rock or tree, Jesus prayed. He was communing so intently with God that he didn't think about food. He had had nothing to eat for those 40 days. At the end of 40 days, Jesus was very weak from hunger. And that's when Satan, the devil, came to tempt Jesus, to try to make him turn away from his mission. Holy Scripture tells us the story in a very few words. But we can be sure that Satan came to Jesus in the form of an angel of light, ready to use his cleverest tricks.
Jesus, I have good news for you. Your fast is at an end, and I have been sent to deliver you from hunger. Just look at all these stones around you. If you really are the Son of God, just say the word and turn these stones into loaves of bread and eat. Prove to yourself that God takes care of you.
It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.
Jesus would not use his power for his own benefit. That would be a selfish miracle. And with a suggestion of distrust, Satan had said, if you are the Son of God. To challenge Satan on that if would not be faith. It would be showing a lack of faith. Next, Satan led Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem. There he placed him on the highest part of the temple. It was a long way to the ground. The devil again tried to tempt Jesus.
Ah, Jesus, I commend your faithfulness to God's word. I have been only testing your faith. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for the scriptures say, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Go ahead. Jump down.
It is also written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.
Jesus met the second temptation with God's word also. He would not do anything to force God to come to his rescue. That would not be faith. It would be presumption, putting God to a test. Satan was defeated again, but he did not give up yet. He led Jesus to a mountaintop. From there he showed Jesus all the beauty of the world with its wealth, its great cities, palaces, and vineyards. And he tempted Jesus again.
Look now, look, look, look. At all this glory, all this splendor. Think of all the people you could help if you were ruler of all this. And you can be. All this is under my power. And all this I will give you if you will bow down. Worship me!
Away from me, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.
Jesus met all of the devil's temptations with God's word, the weapon that is more powerful than any other in the world. The devil could do nothing but flee. By now, Jesus was too weak to find food. Holy Scripture says, behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Following the temptation in the wilderness, Jesus returned again to where John was baptizing, now at a place called Bethabara, by the Jordan River. By this time, the leaders in Jerusalem had sent more priests to question the powerful preacher.
John, who are you anyway?
I am not the Messiah.
Well then, who are you? Are you Elijah? Come back to life.
I am not.
Are you the prophet?
No.
Then who are you? Tell us so we can give an answer to those who sent us. What do you have to say for yourself?
I am a voice from the barren wilderness, shouting as Isaiah prophesied, "Get ready for the coming of the Lord."
If you aren't the Messiah, or Elijah, or the prophet, what right do you have to baptize?
I merely baptize with water. But right here in the crowd is someone you have never met, who will soon begin his ministry among you. And I am not worthy to untie the thongs of his sandals.
Whom does he mean? I don't see anyone here who looks like the Messiah.
We certainly should be able to recognize the Messiah when he does come. After all, we are the leaders of Israel.
Look around. These are just common people. No one here looks like the Messiah. Who here looks like the king who will bring back power to Israel?
Exhausted and frustrated, the priests finally quit questioning John the Baptist and returned to Jerusalem. The next day, Jesus came again to listen to John the Baptist and stood among the crowd. Andrew and John Bar Zebedee were there too, waiting for the Messiah to be shown to them.
Look, there he is. There is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, "The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. There is the Lamb of God."
Then that's him. That's the Messiah.
But he looks so worn, emaciated, like he's been sick or through a great struggle. How could he be the Messiah?
But look more closely. Look at his face. And those eyes. He seems to possess some special inner power, like the power of love.
He's starting to leave. Hurry, let's follow him.
The Baptist called him the Lamb of God. I wonder what that means.
What are you looking for?
Teacher, where are you staying?
Come, and you will see.
Andrew and John Bar Zebedee followed Jesus to the place where he was staying. I'm sure Andrew and John had many questions to ask Jesus. The Bible doesn't tell us what they talked about, but likely Jesus told the two men about the prophecies that pointed to the Messiah. In the words of Jesus, John and Andrew found hope, truth, and beauty. Andrew especially became excited.
John, Jesus is the Messiah, the promised one of Israel. I must go and find my brother Simon and tell him.
All right, but hurry. Jesus said that he had to leave for Galilee soon, and I want to go with him.
Soon, Andrew found his brother Simon, another fisherman.
Simon! Simon, quick! Come with me!
Now, take it easy, Andrew. Catch your breath.
We found the Messiah, the Christ. Hurry, come with me.
You mean the Deliverer that John the Baptist has been speaking about all these months?
Yes! Yes, we found him. Now, come on, hurry!
All right, I'm coming.
Andrew and Simon hurried to find Jesus. Jesus saw the rugged fisherman and liked him immediately.
Rabbi, this is my brother, Simon.
So you are Simon, son of Jonah. You will be called Peter.
Peter? That means rock. I like that. Peter it is.
The following day, Jesus and his three new friends left for Galilee. On the way, Jesus met Philip, who, like Andrew and Peter, was also from the town of Bethsaida.
Follow me, Philip.
Yes, Master. But first I must find a friend of mine called Nathanael. He was also a follower of John the Baptist. I'll be right back.
Philip found Nathanael meditating and praying under a fig tree.
Nathanael, we have found the Messiah, the very one Moses and the prophets told about. His name is Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.
Did you say Nazareth?
Yes.
Can anything good come from Nazareth?
Ah, that's just an old saying. Come, see for yourself.
All right, I'm coming.
Just a little farther now. There. That's him.
I'm coming. Don't rush me. He's looking right at me.
Behold, here is a true Israelite, in whom there is nothing false.
How do you know what I am like?
I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, even before Philip called you.
Teacher, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel.
Do you believe all this just because I told you I had seen you under the fig tree? You will see greater proofs than that. You will see heaven open, and the angels of God coming back and forth to me, the Son of Man.
Now Jesus with his first five disciples, the two brothers, Andrew and Simon Peter, John, son of Zebedee, Philip and Nathanael, walked to a little village in Galilee called Cana. Here, Jesus' mother was to be a guest at a wedding of some relatives. Jesus and his followers were invited too. They walked down the narrow streets filled with camels, donkeys, merchants, and playing children. They came to some stone houses surrounded by cypress trees and olive groves. They found the house where the wedding was to be and entered.
Who is that man with the others?
That is Jesus, the son of Mary.
Mary, I see your son is back.
Yes, he's been to hear John the Baptist. That's his cousin, you know.
But that was many weeks ago. He's been gone a long time.
I suppose he had much to think about. He wanted to be alone for a while.
What has happened to him? He seems different, more dignified, special.
I believe he's ready now to begin his special work.
Special work? You mean he's not going to return to his carpenter's shop?
No, I don't think so. God has called him for something very special.
Oh, he's going to be a rabbi? I always knew he was going to be a rabbi someday. Well, you understand, Mary, we are all very curious about your son. We expect great things of him.
Thank you. But I do hope he'll show us soon what his special work will be. It seems I've been waiting a long
time. Mary, what a fine wedding. It's because you've been such a help.
It has been going well.
Yes, but I'm afraid the wine is running out. It won't last much longer.
Oh, no, and it's only the second day of the wedding. Some of our guests will think we're not very generous. Of all things, why the wine?
Oh, there's my cousin Rebecca. It has been so long, I just must talk to her. If there's anything I can do to help...
What shall we do? I'll tell Jesus about it. Perhaps this is the time. Yes, that's it. So you see, son, they have no more wine. What shall we do?
Mother, I can't help you right now. It isn't yet time to show who I am before the people.
Yes, I understand. Excuse me. I must talk to the servants. Now, servants, listen carefully. Whatever my son Jesus tells you to do, do it. Understand?
Yes, we understand. Well, here he comes now.
Servants, come here. See these six water jars?
Of course, yes. I see.
Please fill each one up to the brim with water.
Each one? Oh, but everyone must hold 20 to 30 gallons.
Come on, remember what we were told.
Now, dip some out and take it to the master of the banquet.
But the guests want wine, not water.
Yes, master, we'll do it right now.
What is this? It doesn't look like water.
Just do what we're told, all right? Here, give me the cup. Now take it to the banquet master.
What is this? New wine? This is the good wine. Where did it come from? I'm going to speak to the bridegroom about this.
Yes, sir?
Taste this wine, will you?
It is good.
Yes, it's excellent. The best wine I've tasted. But I don't understand. Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then after the guests have had too much to drink, they bring out the cheaper wine. But you've saved the best till now.
I have? Oh, yes, I have.
It seemed to be only a small miracle, but it brought happiness to people. And Jesus had begun his marvelous work for the sake of others. From now on, it would grow rapidly until all of Israel knew about the Messiah.